Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y. My name is Gabrielle. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about one-hit wonders of the 90s. Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I had made a list of things that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to discuss things that were nostalgic because it's like, you know, that is my name, you know, That 80s Child. However, I think I would like to evolve it as well as being beyond nostalgia, but putting it into today's terms and what we're going through. Not politically, not socially. I really don't really want to touch on that. I don't want to touch on things that, like, bar rules, as people have said to me. You don't, no religion, no like, you know, issues, politics, just, you know, cool stuff. Look, it's a blue sky outside. It's beautiful. It's too bright for me right now, though. But yeah. So, yes. So in the 90s, you know, we had our compact discs, which they did have out in the 80s. But, you know, that was the biggest thing in the 90s. You had your disc, your CDs, and you would hear a song. Say you heard a song on a radio, or, you know, God forbid you saw a video on MTV or VH1. You're like, I love this song. I must have this song. Now, perhaps this song wasn't their single that they put out, and it was just like some other random song or the B-side of something, and you couldn't find it. You could see the single that they had out wasn't your favorite, so you ended up having to buy the whole album for one song. Maybe you might find another good song on there, but for the most part, these one-hit wonders, great one song, hence the one-hit wonder, and then you get the album and you're like, well, I just wasted, what, $15, depending on if it was like a special edition or something like that, and you ended up having to, you know, just have that one song. That's why when you had like LimeWire, Kazaa, Napster, that's why it was best. That's why streaming's like great right now, because I don't even know, well, they do have albums. I know, like, you know, people out there do albums, but there are artists that I listen to that don't release albums. They just release like individual songs, and we'll put it in a collection once they get to that point. But, you know, because I get alerts for like Grabbits and the Fat Rat. The Fat Rat has some really, really good songs, and they're usually individually put out. So I don't really know. You're going to hear this fan, aren't you? I'm sorry. But anyway, so here are a few of my favorite one-hit wonders that I really liked, that sometimes I would have purchased. I would have purchased the album, which I will mention if I did or not, and then other ones that I would just wait for it to come on the radio and or watch the video that would eventually come on. Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer. Now, the I don't know what her actual name was, the lead singer, but she did a bunch of songs for Delirium, whom I love. So for me, there was more songs by her, but not by that band per se. So I know that was a huge, I know it was like all those like the romance movies, that was like a huge thing. But I did like that movie. I mean, I didn't like all those movies. They sucked. Some of them did, but I did like the song. This isn't really okay. So the other one is "Steal My Sunshine" by Len. I can tolerate the song. But for the most part, it's, if it comes on like in my shuffle, some, I 50-50 chance of it being skipped. So it was okay at the time. It's okay to listen to every once in a while, but it's tolerable. It's not like a favorite, but I figured I'd mention it. And the video is weird too. And yeah, so "Closing Time" by Semisonic. Now, I don't know whether or not "Closing Time" was their one-hit wonder, because they also had that song "D&D." Now, my mom had the album for this, like the CD, and she listened to all of it. But I only knew of "Closing Time," and then nothing. Like, they also had "California" and then "D&D." So were they hits? From what I read, I believe "Closing Time" was their big hit, and that was it. But they had other good songs on there. However, it did pretty much sound exactly the same. So if you like the one song, you probably like the other one. So if you want like one really long song, you listen to all three of them. So it wasn't a complete loss purchasing the album for them. Saved Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry. Now, I forgot about this song. When I was looking up One Hit Wonders in the 90s, just to give myself a list, I put down what I liked and I knew of and I had albums for. When I looked up these other lists and I was like, oh yeah, I know that song. What are they doing now? So I did like that song. That was a good one. Fastball the Way. I got the album and I never listened to any of the other songs. So I am so sorry if there is a good song on there. Please tell me. But I know that their one hit wonder is The Way, and it was a great song. I still love it. I have it on my rotation. That's one of the songs that if you ever read any of my blogs about music and nostalgia and like your memories, that song, I guess just because it was of the time and I listened to it a lot, it really just brings back those moments in the 90s in high school. And like, I hated high school, but there were some, if I separated out all the other BS that was happening and just went with like what I was, you know, at home and like other things that were going on, it brought back some nice feelings. And I was like, okay, so that's why I like listening to it. That's like Blind Melon with No Rain. That's like that's a summertime song that I listen to a lot. Anyway, Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger. It's a fun song. I still listen to it. I like it. Just a note, and this is the reason why I had to look up a lot of the one-hit wonders of the 90s. I was really in my own world of music. I wasn't much for whatever was like super popular. I don't know if I deliberately did it. I think it was part deliberately and part that I actually did like this other music and I wasn't too into a lot of the stuff that was going on. And I know that might be sacrilegious to people because the 90s was like a huge like move in music, but I hated everybody at school for the most part. And anything that they liked, I'm just like, you know what? F it. I'm not going to like it just because I hate you. I don't want to be anything like you. So I'm going to like something else, or I'm just not even going to check it out. Now there are songs that they've listened to and I'm like, you know, actually it's not too bad. So, but there's like Jump, Jive and Wail by the Brian Setzer Orchestra. I don't classify that as a one-hit wonder because Brian Setzer, one, was an excellent guitarist, and he was in the Stray Cats. But I guess by band, that was his one-hit wonder, but, you know, he's had other hits. And it's a shame if that is the case because he has other great songs. So check it out. I liked the video of that. I believe it had some of the DeLuise brothers in there doing some of the swing dancing. That was pretty cool. The Mummers Dance by Loreena McKennitt. Now, I didn't know that she was a one-hit wonder because, again, this is another album that my mom had gotten. And The Mummers Dance is great, but I have another one that's called, like, it's a really long word. I don't even know. All right, so Loreena McKennitt, when you look her up, the Mummers song does come up, but it's Kecharitomene. It's Kecharitomene. That song is like my favorite, and that's on my rotation as well. So I didn't realize that that was classified as her only hit. She has some great songs, so check them out. Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. Now, this is one of the albums I personally bought. And they did the song right after Tub Thumping called Amnesia, I actually liked. VH1 really pushed that song. And especially there was that show where it was the generational battles of songs. And you had one guy's like, Chumba Wamba. And I'm like, dude, if you were like, oh, that's my generation. No, it was one song. But if you were in England, they were a bar band. They're a pub band, I should say. And they were fairly popular within that this was just like across the seas one hit wonder. I'm sure they were like much more popular. That was just like Our House. I forget what their it was. Our House by Madness. Now, that's the only song that I know, and that's from the 80s, but that's the only song that I know of them. But when I was in England, they were the lead singer of that, and I was like, I don't know who that is, and they're like, that's from Madness, and I'm like, I don't. Who? And that's like, then they would say Our House, and I'm like, oh yeah, they're like that one hit wonder. But over there, it's fantastically popular. So, you know, it just depends on where you are. Bitch by Meredith Brooks. It works well for me currently. Even though I was told that I was talking to my friend and I was like, you know what, I'm really not as good as everybody thinks that I am. And she's like, oh, no, you are. I still struggle with this. I don't know if it's because I was told by somebody that I wasn't and like I was a horrible individual, or I am different when I'm home because the people that I'm home with have dealt with everything and like I can be more, I guess, like lax on my that hard exterior that I put out. And my hard exterior is like a big pushover softie, so go figure. I'm not a horrible person. If you come up to me, I will definitely say hi, and if you talk to me, I'm not rude because it's manners, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think a lot of people have manners now, and that I talk now, I'm just like, you know, back in my day. So but I like that song by Meredith Brooks. Did she have it? Like, that was the only song I knew of. So Sunny Came Home by Sean Colvin. I got this full album and I appreciated her as a singer-songwriter. I appreciate anybody who was a singer-songwriter, not like the mass-produced like bands who were just like had a slew of writers and they would just, you know, front the songs. I lack of respect on that part. Yes, they had vocals, but did they do, and they could choreograph some things and remember a dance move. But to actually like write a song, like the lyrics and the melody and everything else, like that's talent. And anybody who does that, you know, more power to you. I wish I could. Like, I can write, but music, I can't. So that's awesome. But yeah, I didn't listen to any other song by Sean Colvin, but Sunny Came Home was a good one. And I don't have that in my rotation. I don't know if I'd listen to that continually, but it was good. Like, I might listen to it and be like, oh yeah, I like this song. And that's it. You know, like one time here and there would be good. Missing Everything But The Girl. I absolutely love the remix of that song. And that she had an awesome voice. I don't understand why they weren't more popular. Maybe it was just because maybe they were doing other things that were not mainstreamish. But the remix of that, if you haven't heard it, please look it up. It's great. One of Us by Joan Osborne. My mom loved this. I don't know if I can't remember the video. I can kind of remember. I know what she looks like. I can kind of see it, but I haven't seen it in a while. It's okay. You know, my mom is the one, that's why I wrote it down, because it reminds, you know, that's what my mom loved. So it was like, okay. I Love You Always Forever by Donna Lewis. Now, this one, I did actually have a cassette single, so I didn't have to listen to a whole album of other crap. Now, I do actually, if I hear the song, I'm like, ah, you know, and I'll sing along to it. However, her voice, because she gets like this weird, like whispery, like huffy, I don't know what the hell she's doing, but it gets annoying. So it's just like, you are, and she just breathes, and it's like, that is annoying. Can you just sing, please? You know, I don't. So the song's okay, but it does get, it grates on me. So it's not on rotation. Counting Blue Cars by Dishwalla. I love that song, and I need to add it to my list, which I haven't done. I have to do that. That song I found mainly through videos, not, I didn't really listen to radio that much. Like I said, I had my own like mix CDs that I did for myself because nobody was going to do one for me. So I just like, I love me, so I'll just do it myself. Breakfast at Tiffany's by Deep Blue Something. Now, what I wanted to know, I love the song. I still love the song. I think that's on my the really, really long liked list. So like if it shuffles and I'll hear it, but I don't particularly go to it specific for that. But I just wonder how many people actually saw the movie before hearing the song, and then how many watched it after hearing the song? Like, were you interested? Did you know it was a movie? Did you want to see it? Did you already see it? How did you feel about that? I saw the movie. I loved the movie. And I liked I didn't necessarily like the video, but I liked the song. Ready to Go by Republica. It's currently on my list. I borrowed the CD from a friend, and it took me a while to get it back to her because I couldn't figure out. I didn't have a computer at the time that would let me like take it. I'm like, this is mine now. But that's another English singer. I don't know if they were more popular in England versus here, but I do like that song. And it is on my list. And then you have Ooh Ah, Just a Little Bit by Gina G. that was, there are going to be some songs on here that I heard specifically because it was on the bus and they would listen to like Q102 and whatever the popular songs were. And I would usually have my cassette player / CD player, whatever I had at the time, my portable one, and listen to my stuff instead of listen to the balloon, because I hated the bus too. I hated everything at the time. Six Underground by Sneaker Pimps. I liked it because it was different and I liked it at the time, and I have it on my list. Again, it's on my long list that if it comes up, I'm like, okay, this is cool, but it's not like a continual one. Freak Like Me, Adina Howard. All right. So this apparently was her only one hit wonder. And I only put this on here because I didn't actually listen to that song by her. I had listened to it from a, it was a cover by a different band. It was on the Pepsi chart. I actually got it off a CD in England off their Pepsi chart. Okay, it was by the Sugar Babes. So that's how I heard that song. I liked it. However, two of my my best friend and then a friend, they were coworkers at the time, but they were friends. They told me about the song and they were like, "You like this song?" Because they, it was odd for me to be listening to a song such like that. And I was like, yeah, like, what do you mean? And I'm like, and they're like, "How do you know it?" And I'm like, "Oh, it's," and I told them who I heard and they're like, "Oh no, that's like a cover." And then they told me about the words and I was like, oh, that's what I'm singing. I was very naive when it came to certain things, a little less now, but you know. I loved Roll to Me by Delamitri. The song is way too short. I'm just saying. They were Australian too. I didn't know that. Good for them for being Australian. Surviving that place. Rhythm of the Night by Corona. Again, another radio bus nonsense that I was listening to. Informer by Snow. I don't really know the song that well. But it does make me feel better that I wasn't completely oblivious to all the songs back in those days. It's kind of hard not to be because we were at the time with the radio, with school, with MTV and VH1 bombarded with videos and stuff like that. And we were like digital when we were getting into the internet and all that stuff and having home computers. We had more options and we're listening to more things. So I think that's the reason why. What's Up by Four Non Blondes. I love that song. It was, I have that on my rotation. I do like that song still. I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles to Proclaimers. Everyone knows that song. If not all the words, but everyone knows the song. Wishing on a Star by the Cover Girls. Now, I didn't know it at the time. And the one song, the version I have currently on my list is a shorter version from the miniseries 10th Kingdom. And it's all, when I listened to the full song and by them, I was like, man, I like the little bit that I had, the little like 1.5 minute blip that was of the song, because I like the words to it. So if look it up, if you know the song from the 10th Kingdom, it's called Wishing on a Star. It's really good. Unbelievable by EMF. I only know the title of the song and I know like, you're unbelievable and that's it. I don't know. The rest of it, Black Velvet by Alana Miles. Now, that was like early 90s. I thought that was an 80s song, but it was like really early 90s. And apparently she wasn't very nice. I believe in one of the pop-up videos, which I'll be talking about next episode, I'll be talking about the MTV and VH1 generation. Please check it out. Thank you. Anyway, Tom's Diner by DNA. So I didn't know this. It's like, and I only sing it now because Fall Out Boy sampled it in one of their songs. So it's like I constantly have it stuck in my head. Groove Is in the Heart by D-Light. I love that song. And you can tell in like the mid-90s, the 60s were kind of like making a reappearance because everything was, you know, like with Austin Powers and stuff like that. Everything was like Mood Rings and the peace sign and the happy face. It was just, and we were getting the flared jeans, like bell bottoms. I know we had the Jenko jeans. I never had them. I never had anything designer. I never had anything that big. I had flared jeans, but that was it. I didn't have like oversized stuff. But they actually had the D-Light song cover of it not that long ago for Old Navy, one of the commercials, which I thought was cool. There She Goes by The Laws. I think I looked up rock songs. I'm like, how is that classified as rock? I don't, isn't that like more like alternative? So that's really all that I wrote down. I know this is obviously not a comprehensive list. These are just like a few that I actually liked and heard of, and proved that I did actually, I wasn't completely comatose in the 90s. And these are like the one-hit wonders. There are obviously like other great bands that had multiple successes, you know, and hits. There you go. I couldn't figure out the word. But these were the ones that were just like the one-offs. And if you were, you know, if you actually purchased the album and wasted your money on one song and found out the rest of it was completely crap. There was a lot in the 80s. I don't know. Did I do one-hit wonders in the 80s? I probably did, because I think I was just moving ahead. So like I said, check out my next episode, MTV Generation /VH1. And I'll be talking about everything that I watched. Because I watched it more than I listened to it on the radio, so I might actually be able to, like, you know, we could have some sort of level playing field that you're like, oh, I can relate to that. She can finally be relatable. I didn't live under a rock all the time. Anyway, so that's really it for the one-hit wonders that I wanted to talk about. I have to say that my mom was a big influence when it came to music, because she had a very large collection of albums, and she introduced me to a lot of the songs that I still listen to, a lot of the artists that I still listen to. And, you know, I actually introduced her to some other ones, but she listened to more radio than I did. So in the 90s, when she was listening to the radio and I was just happening to hear it, that's how I kind of found it. And especially during the summertime when we'd be out swimming, she would have the radio on. So if not a CD or a cassette, whatever we had. And that's really how I heard a lot of the songs, besides, like, you know, people at school or the bus and stuff like that. So I'm happy that I wasn't completely, you know, not there, because there are some really great things that, you know, we all like to sit and, like, you know, reminisce over from the 90s and, like, want it to be more like that now. Because, you know, honestly, like, if you, and I've said this before, the oversaturation, that was my very last one before my very long break, where the nostalgia is great, you know, because you know we always view our childhood as rose-colored glasses. We view them through rose-colored glasses. Was it as great as we remember? Maybe. But at the time, you know, if you enjoyed it, then you enjoyed it and you lived it, you know. And then we just have to, like, you know, we can reintroduce things, but there's no need to reintroduce things that are archaic. You know what I'm, you know, we have to keep moving forward. That's what the human race needs to be doing. Forward. I say forward, and I'm sorry, forward. So we want to have, like, you know, with our kids, if you have kids, if not, whatever, you know, just your cousins, your nieces and nephews, and you want to kind of pass down some really cool things that we had, fine. But you know, don't completely block out the things that are happening, you know, that we have now. Because you want to enjoy that too. I wish that I had the ability to stream the songs that I have now. Now, I understand that the compression sound and whatever, it's not for me to hear it as a composer. It is for me to enjoy it on a level of, like, escapism and just enjoyment, you know? I would have loved that. And the ability to have the games on the go that we have now, oh my God, you would never see me. So maybe it was a good thing, because we did go outside a lot. And I do miss that. You know, I'm going to be 41 soon. So, like, am I going to go out and, like, run around? Hell no. But I don't see it as much as I did. I didn't really see it that much. I lie. I saw it on television, and I knew of other people who did it. I lived in the middle of nowhere, like, surrounded by blueberry fields. We were outside. My brother and I were outside playing, but it's not like I saw anybody else, because there was nobody else. but I know people did it. I know that was a thing. Nostalgia is great, And it's good to view things that we've been through and to learn from them and to enjoy them and to like reminisce in a good way. But there's also a point where you have to get out of that and know and live in the present. Life is fleeting, and I'm learning that. I already knew that, but I'm understanding it more recently, and I'm trying to be less stuck in that past viewpoint to think of myself as like, well, you know, my life was so much better then. And it's like, was it though? Kind of, but not. There were bad points. So it's just like, it wasn't completely like stress-free. It wasn't completely like 100% great either. My channel that I have, this podcast that I have, will focus heavily on that, but I don't want to be into the point where I'm mired by it. That's why I would, like, I'm, like I was saying in another one where, when I was, future episodes are going to be nostalgic, but also kind of bringing it into like the now and what people are doing, because like there's now everybody's like the, that Xennial and then like that Gen X thing where people are like, where are all the Gen X's? Why aren't they getting in on the deal? And then it's like all those TikToks and the reels and all that other stuff that I see. And it's like, you know, because they're like, what, nearly 50 now, if not a little older. Pretty soon, the Gen Z's, like my son, is going to, before that, you're going to have like the millennials. Like, so if I'm a Xennial and you'll have the true millennials reminiscing about that stuff. I already see people's like, oh, you know, I'm back in 2007. And I'm thinking to myself, that's like, that's not that long ago, but it, you know, it's a bit of a distance away, but you know, I'm like, that's not nostalgic to me. Still nostalgic things are from like when I was a kid, like a 80s, you know, and nostalgic things from what my mom and dad were talking about. Now my dad was born in 1928. So it's like, maybe that's what makes me so special. I'm so unique, you know, no, but just seeing it on this, on that plane of view, to see what they classified as nostalgic on their end versus how I see it. You know, granted, things have changed. You know, I'm sure they, my dad lived through the Depression, so I'm sure they're not like, oh, you know, back in those days when we only had a piece of like dried out bread. I can't, you know, I wish I was back there. No. Obviously. And in the 50s when my mom was born, it was like, I'm pretty sure nobody was like, oh, you know, remember when we had to wear pearls while we were vacuuming? Nobody's saying that. Well, actually, I think there are some people who actually do like that stuff. Whatever. To each their own. Not for me. In fact, I used to have pearls when I was little. Go figure, right? But yeah, that's not going to happen. Not for me anyway. So yeah, that's that. I think I'm done. I might do an episode where I'm just ranting about stuff, like not political. Like I want to keep away from that, but I might bitch about some other things. I think that maybe like I'll do like a, do something like that. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. Well then, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you will check out all of my other episodes, since I figured out how all of the episodes can be seen on Spotify and iTunes. And I will be trying to post these on a weekly basis. I don't know what day. I'm going to do my best. But, you know, life, like I said. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you'll check out all the rest and the future ones that will be coming. This has been Gabrielle with That 80s Child, The Generation Y. Bye.